just hit record.
Okay.
I'm mad I didn't get that because that would have been great. Yeah.
If you want to tell all of our friends and listeners how I don't know where Elmhurst is.
I mean, I don't have to. You just did. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. It's been 86 years or whatever the fucking Titanic meme is. Hi.
Hi.
We're alive. We do still exist in the world.
And we have missed you. Oh, how we have missed you.
We have missed you. So shit happened.
Yeah, a couple, two, three things went down.
Just a few.
In these last 5 years.
Fine. Yeah, it'll probably be like 5 years when I finally get around to editing this. So, holy cats.
Yeah.
So we are back.
We're so back.
We're so back, guys. We're so back. With Oof, I Wrote That. That's the name of the show. Yes. We prepared for this.
That is a good thing to mention.
Exactly. Yeah. My favorite thing about I do another podcast with my cousin Alex, Subtle Interference. You should listen to it. It's fine. Is
it's aggressively fine.
We'll forget to do the cold open. And I'll hit record and we'll just start talking. And then 45 minutes will go by and we'll both look at each other and we're like, we did not say the name of the podcast.
Oh.
But it's fine. Like, two people listen. It's fine. No one cares. But this is not that. This is a show where we read some old cringy writing of ours. You were, what, 12 years old when you wrote this? So things will be a little different. We have made over dinner an executive decision that since my story really had no more coherence and was really just a loose collection of scenes, it didn't really make sense to like try to keep on with it. So we're going to focus on Sheila's story here.
And I have great news for everybody. I basically, a couple days ago, had what amounted to like a mystical vision. And I went down to the closet in the basement and I removed like 5 heavy sacks of vacuum packed clothing and found the exact box where the missing entire first half of my novel has been languishing for like, I don't know, decades. I have been looking for this thing for years. And I don't know how I suddenly knew where it was. Like, it was as if in a trance. I just went down to the basement. So,
hey, man, whatever works.
Yeah. So I think what we're going to do is we're going to pick up where we left off because we're almost at the end.
Yes. And it then didn't once make sense to, I mean, and it's been so long. We didn't want to like create more confusion.
Yeah.
So we'll finish Sheila's story. And this isn't all just this one episode. We are going to we're going to go until we completely finish Sheila's story. So we'll get to the end.
Buckle up.
And then we're going to go back and read the beginning, the very beginning of that. So
what a treat.
It is a treat. I'm so excited. And if I should find any of my old shits, something that's coherent and actually like, I was talking about, I definitely wrote, and I'm pretty sure I mentioned this on this show, was a Final Fantasy VII crossover with Dragon Ball Z, Time and a Place. And I had found it in the internet, what is the Wayback Machine?
Yeah.
But I didn't print it, and now I don't, because there was some shit with the Internet Archive or
they
whatever.
They definitely have lost some things.
Yeah, so yeah. I don't know if I can still access that, and I don't know if I can sit across from you and be saying, like, Dragon Ball Z names. I don't know if that's a thing I can do.
I've known you for a long time.
You have known me for a long time. I might have to wear a bag on my head while reading that, though, because I don't think I can look at your face.
You can be like the chainsaw guy from Resident Evil 4.
There you go, there you go. With the sack.
That's what I'm envisioning for us.
Very, I like that. I'm into that. So if I find some old shit, I will jump back in. But for now, we are just going to focus on Sheila's story. Though we will come in with our random pop culture nonsense as we do, as was the style at the time. So.
Shall we dive in? Or
do we
want to
dive in? Or we don't want to talk about the fucking hellscape that we live in now?
I mean, I don't want to talk too much about it because things have gotten really dark.
Yeah, so we're not going to... we also talked about this. It was something that we had... It was a rule for the old show as well. We're not going to talk about certain stuff, which I think if... Yeah.
Well, because we started recording in, what, 2018? So we were in the first epic of that.
Yes, we were in that era.
And then we got out of that.
We got out of that.
Then there was a big pandemic.
Yeah, there was a pandemic, yes, which is why we stopped recording.
And then we just got ground down by life in general.
Yes. You had, I think, what, she was around 6 months? A little older. No, she was...
When lockdown, the first day of lockdown was her birth, her first birthday.
Okay, that's right. So she was a year and Izzy was just about 6 months old, I think. So we were very obviously strict. We do not have, I do not have the skill to record a podcast over the internet. I don't know that we were up for that at the time.
I don't think it would have felt right, both logistically and emotionally.
There is something to this where we need to be sitting across a table.
And I need to see your face.
Yes, because there's lots of shit happening
on
here.
Your face tells a lot of stories.
I do not have, lots of face journeys up in here. I'm taking off my socks.
Yours tells stories and mine attracts people to talk to it about nonsense all the time, out in public, on the bus.
I'm working on this, fellows. I don't know, fellows, what the fuck is that? I had a drink at dinner.
Do you remember how to talk to people?
No, I don't. That's the unfortunate thing. All I do now is like read fan fiction and watch animated shit that Sass recommends to me. This is my life now. And I'm also raising a 5-year-old with my lovely husband, but you know, secondary stuff. I still know how to talk. Some alcohol has been imbibed. I don't think we're going to get as messy as those first couple episodes of ours.
No, I am 5 years older. I cannot get that messy.
That's terrifying.
I know. But I did have a few old fashions with dinner. And a lovely Bailey's with coffee.
That was really good, wasn't it?
You always have the best ideas.
I'm a fucking genius. Everyone should listen to me always. And it's more than 5 years. It's like we started recording this in 2018.
Mm-hmm, and we're coming up on 2025.
So yeah, you were talking about like 7 years, my friend.
Merry Connertmas, everyone.
Merry Connertmas, everyone.
Happy New Year.
Well, I mean, how do we used to start this? We'd be like, what are you watching? What are you reading? What do you got going on? We are recording in lovely Door County.
Once again.
Because this is an annual tradition that we, I call it the no one speaks to me or touches me weekend.
It's the declench weekend.
It is the declench weekend, yes. Because we do talk. Obviously, someone is talking to me. We're having a conversation.
But we also read. We can talk or not talk.
We read. Naps happened today, which were lovely.
You were like, I want to take a nap. And I was like, yes.
I was writing.
Now I can take a nap.
And I was just like, I had like two sentences written. I looked at the clock and I was like, yeah, fuck it. I'm going to take a nap.
I was feeling nappy, but I didn't want you to judge me. Because I just woke up like 5 hours
ago. I will never judge anyone for taking a nap. Naps are one of life's greatest joys.
I don't know. Honestly, like, you know that bit in Arrested Development when she takes a 2-hour angry nap? Mm-hmm. Like, it's kind of how I nap. Like, it's never as fulfilling as I want it to be. And this afternoon I woke up thinking that I was spitting my loose teeth into my hands.
Well, that's bad. Like, you don't want to have like the nightmare during the nap. Because that means you got to the REM sleep. And now your circadian rhythm is all fucked up.
Yes.
It's fucked up. So, good times.
But I have been reading on this trip more than I have. I've been a little, I think we all got a little derailed by events of November. We won't say any more about that.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about it anymore.
But
this is a safe, happy place.
Yes. But I've been on a jag of like self-abuse, not the sexy kind. So I'm trying to get back into good habits like reading and eating vegetables.
I've had such a hard time like getting into any like, I've read so few books this year that I'm kind of ashamed of myself.
I think you and I are both struggling with the fact that we've just read so many books in our lives that our standards have gotten quite high. At this point,
you have high standards. I don't have high standards. No, I think we've established that like many, 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 many times on this show.
I need to be really surprised or moved by a book. Not that it has to have like a twist ending, but it has to be something I haven't seen a million times before.
Which is fair. I think that's a high, like, because you've said that before, where you're like, you like to be surprised by a book. And I was like, I couldn't tell you. I'm trying to think the last time like a book genuinely surprised me. Because I feel like I've watched a lot of media. I've consumed a lot of media. I like feel like I got the basic like tenets of story. So you can kind of tell where stuff is going.
Yeah.
It's mostly like, how are you telling this to me?
Something that I look for is, we were talking about this a little bit before, I was describing Game of Thrones and then I was describing something else to you that had that same, like this like delicate engine of inevitability, like these tiny little inconsequential events that all cohere into this like thundering engine of, it couldn't have happened any other way than this intense
inevitability.
Yeah. Right. And I think the example that I gave you was beef. I thought, we have talked on this podcast about how I think that Breaking Bad is a 10 out of 10 technically perfect piece of media. Even if it's not my favorite one.
Yes.
There is nothing there. There's not a hair out of place. And I will say the same thing about Beef.
Beef was a, what, 8 episode?
10, I think.
10 Netflix miniseries from a couple years ago?
Yes. And it stars Ali Wong, who is incredible, and Steven... I cannot remember his last name, but he was so goddamn good. It was so good. It foregrounded the Asian American experience in a way that I have never seen in media. There was not a wasted shot or line of dialogue, and it was funny. And I mean, okay, I'm a vengeful person, so the premise kind of spoke to me, like, I think more than it might to your average person. The kind of explosive, takes it too personally, I gotta get vengeance on this person that both of the protagonists, like, indulge themselves in is, like, my greatest secret fantasy. I would never do that, but every day I want to.
Yeah, no. Like, the person who, like... cuts you off in traffic. Like, all I want is for them to then get run off the road by, like, a Mack truck.
I mean, that's the exact premise of the show. Like, they have a confrontation in the parking lot, and it spirals out of control from there.
Interesting.
It's just the marital relationships, the commentary, like, the social class commentary is on point, the genetic trauma and, like, that stuff is on point. It's funny as hell. It's stylish, and the musical choices. I
remember you talking a lot about that, like, the certain ones were like,
some of them were like a dagger to my heart. Okay, every episode ended with something that is on my 90s playlist.
Ah.
But the final, I will not spoil the final scene from you. And it, the way that it all ends is it's at once so unexpected and yet so inevitable, and that's what made it so beautiful. The last scene is accompanied by the Smashing Pumpkins mayonnaise. Like, I think I was already crying, but, like, I, you know, you get, like, the full body shivers.
Yeah, there's certain stuff that's just like, oh, I'm just going to violently cry for 15 minutes. Yes. Because of whatever just happened in front of my face. Yeah.
Yes. I want everyone to watch it, and I've tried to be delicate about it around you, because I know that if I push too hard, you're going to be like, I don't want to. But it is.
I guarantee you at some point since you have watched the show, I have looked up the ending and I just don't remember it.
No, it's not even like that. Like, you can read about it, but it's not the visceral experience.
No, right,
that you
right,
need
right,
to
right.
Have.
Exactly. Right.
It is my piece of media for 2024. I think I watched it this year. It's been a long year. I think I watched it this spring.
Was it earlier this year? I would have to go back and look at, we made a special Discord channel for it so you guys could discuss it.
I think so. I'm always kind of late on things, but I think I watched it in March. I think Steve took Jane.
I feel like you were pretty, like, right when that came out, I want to say.
I was, because Cassandra got me into it right when it came out. And I was, like, immediately sold on the premise.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's my piece of media. And then I think the other thing that really, like, knocked my socks off this year was Disco Elysium.
You've been playing that for a long time. That's been more than this year, I think.
Well,
like.
I started it in late 2020, but it was heavy. My brain just wasn't functioning right during the peak COVID, and I couldn't. It's a demanding piece of media.
Mm-hmm.
The world building is really technical. It's like you have to really immerse yourself in. It focuses a lot on, like, the history, the politics, the socioeconomic situation.
A lot going
on. Like, it's a lot going on. And I didn't have the resources for that at that time.
I just had the thought, like, the brain rots are all completely new since we've done this podcast.
Yeah. I mean, I think we were talking about Pacific Rim and Game of Thrones.
We definitely were. And Pacific Rim, still very near and dear to my heart. We do watch it at least, shut the fuck up, 2 to 3 times a year. Because it's just a delightful movie and it's perfect. In my humble estimation. But I don't think we've talked about The Witcher on this show.
Which has consumed us both.
Which is bonkers when you think about it. Because that came in, like, 2021 for me, I think.
Yeah. No. You and I started playing at the same time, and then you swiftly outpaced me.
I'm not talking about the game. I'm talking about the show.
Oh, there was that much earlier?
Yeah, it came out in December 2019 because early pandemic, everyone was just like vibing with the fucking like show. I tried to watch it, but Izzy had like just come home.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm sitting there and I'm watching and I'm staring and I'm like, everyone on this is very attractive. I'm getting nothing. I'm getting nothing. Like, because it's like 3 a.m. It's kind of, you have to pay attention. It's kind of not demanding, but you do need to be paying attention.
Yeah, it does not do any hand-holding.
No, that pregnancy, like, fog brain of just, like, I got nothing. So then, like, I want to say, like, a year later, I came across a fic that I was like, oh, okay, that sounds interesting. Oh, I'm into this dynamic. And then I watched the show again, and then it destroyed my brain. So...
Yes. And that has been years of your life.
But there's been a lot because there's the books, which are also delightful. There's, which you haven't. You've read a couple of the short stories, right?
No, I read the whole first short story
which is
collection.
It's Sword of Destiny. What is the fucking first one called? Oh, that's going to drive me crazy. I should know that. It's like right there, too. It's in one of my bags. Fuck, man.
I can't believe you don't know this.
Like, it's shit like that because, yeah, right? I should have it, like, right off the top. I'm going to, like, think of it at, like, 4 a.m. I'm going to be shooting awake, and it's going to make me very, very mad.
The Last Wish?
Yes.
Is that there what it's go. Called?
That's
the whole thing?
Is. Yes.
Aha!
That's
the
one
bigger
of
Witcher
the stories.
Fan now.
Oh, go fuck yourself, Sheila.
It's not me.
And then you... Because it was like you were playing Hades.
Oh, yeah.
And then I got into Hades, and we were playing it at the same time, which was delightful.
We were really vibing.
We were that like year. It was amazing. And then did you start The Witcher?
Yes. I started The Witcher almost 3 years ago and I am still not finished.
Which is bonkers. And then I was like, oh, we've had that forever. I've been meaning to play it because I like the show, I like the game, so let's get in here. And Doug. We love Doug.
Oh, love.
Love Doug. And yeah, so that's been all encompassing and consuming, and I'm not going to take any more time to talk about it because there will be many asides as there were with Pacific Rim, so buckle the fuck up.
Yes. I think I just love living in that world. Like, the video game is so immersive in a way that no other video game ever has been for
me. It's one of those games that it's like, oh, I understand why this is like game of the year and everyone adores this.
Yes.
And then I'm trying to think, what else have I been... In the last couple, just recently, Arcane Season 2 came out, which is also based loosely on a video game, League of Legends, but I have never touched that and have absolutely no desire to. That was outstanding. I mainlined the first season, like, right before the second season finished. One of those things, like, that's the thing, man. I'll just be like, nah, I don't want to watch anything, I don't want to watch anything new, and then I don't want to watch anything new. And then I'm like, oh, I've got nothing to do this Saturday night. I'm going to stay up till, like, 5 o'clock in the morning and, like... plow through this show. It's the way my brain works, which is great and wonderful and not horrible at all. That was great. Loved the shit out of that. Beautiful animation. Outstanding. And then I got a bee in my bonnet about Helluva Boss. And I actually asked Sass, I remember this, I like went on our Discord and I'm like, do I need to watch this? So I'm seeing a lot like in my little circles of the internet. And she was like, yeah, you probably should. And by the time she had answered me, I had already watched like all of the first season and was like, oh no, yeah, I'm all the fuck in on this. So that was a lot of fun. And the animation is stunning, which is always fun.
I love it.
Yes, yeah, so that's kind of where I've been in that. It's been very Witcher heavy the last...
Yeah.
Since we've done the show.
I feel bad because I can't think of a book that's really... that I can even remember having read. I think the only one that I really liked was this one that I can't remember the title of or the author's name, but it was this very hallucinogenic recounting of, like, I don't know, 1700s France, and all of these townspeople were behaving in insane ways, and there was, like, a BDSM undercurrent, and then it turned out that it was, like, ergot poisoning.
Huh, interesting.
It was good. I mean, it was the only thing that I read that really...
Did you read Babel, or no?
No, I read Yellow Face. That's by R.F. Kuang, right?
Yeah, it's by the same person. Babel was like, I had to stop a few times during that book, set it down, and be like, I need to take a lap. And like,
Yeah.
Like,
it's
I
on my list.
Wept at the end of that book. That book was amazing. And then the other one that comes to mind is the God Killer trilogy.
Yeah.
That first one, you cannot convince me that author is not a fan of The Witcher. Because it's got those vibes, and I was sitting there, and I'm like, So there's another character with like kind of like the scars like Eskel has, and there's a vibe. There's a vibe there. And she's like, the main character is like actively going out and like killing gods the way that like the Witchers kill monsters. I'm saying this all in a good way. The book is amazing and it doesn't like follow. It's just very similar in vibe. But yeah, that third one is coming out in April, I want to say. But those are good. I really dug those.
I miss anticipating a book in a series. Like, I haven't gotten into like a trilogy in a really long time.
I mean, I'm still reading The Wayward Children, which you ultimately got me into.
I did.
You've kind of fallen off with
those,
though.
I think she's phoning it in.
Which, I mean, valid opinion. But that new one comes out beginning of January, I want to say. I've got like a list of like 5 or 6 books from this year that I'm like, or for next year, that I want to check out. But I have like such a fucking back catalog because I have read, again, nothing this year.
I was so ambitious. The New York Times published a list of like the 25 best books of the 21st century or something. So I was like, I'm going to read all of these, or all the ones that I thought sounded interesting. I put them all on hold, eventually received them all, and have read none of them except this one that I started today, which is not the one on from the list. It's a different one by
her. Right. Yeah.
Elena Ferrante's The Lost Daughter. But I read half of it while you were sleeping. Like, it was
enjoying yourself,
tearing through it. Yeah.
Very nice.
It's one of those books that has like a lot of painful things to say about motherhood. Like a lot of things that make you feel like I'm a bad person and I have these thoughts, but this fictional protagonist has them too. So maybe I'm not that bad of a person.
No.
That's my favorite subgenre of media, which is why I like Peep Show so much.
What else was I going to say? I read one of the things I actually did read the latter half of this year was When Among Crows by Veronica Roth.
Mm-hmm.
And I really liked that. That was good. It's like set in Chicago. It was a novella. It's not very long, which I also appreciated. Because I try to do that when I haven't read in a while.
Yes.
I grab like a couple novellas and I'm like, okay, this is short. I can get through this. Maybe that'll kickstart something. It definitely didn't, which is annoying, but that was a good book. I enjoyed that thoroughly.
We love a local author.
We do love a local author.
I did read one that was kind of interesting this year. I just remembered. It was called People Collide, or When People Collide. And it was about a couple who one day wake up in each other's bodies and assume each other's opposite sex identities and separate. Ooh. And live their life. It was by a trans author. I think in some sense it was an exploration of like finding your trans identity, and it was good. I liked it. That was one of the few things that did manage to surprise me this year.
Nice.
Yeah. I would have liked it to be a little more. You know, sometimes like you feel like you're just getting like you're skating across the protagonist's thoughts and you want more.
You want
a deep dive. Yeah. I wanted more. Like, I liked it enough to want more.
Nice.
You know.
I'm trying to remember if like I ever mentioned Critical Role on here before, because it's like a big part of the old pop culture diet now, too.
I don't know that you have.
I don't think I have either. So much has changed, Sheila.
It's been. I think we did do a lost episode at some point.
Maybe we did. I don't know. Maybe I can go digging around and see if I can't find it. But
time capsule.
Indeed. Indeed. Special. Very special episode. And we have an active D&D game going on now. I don't know that we did when we were. Because we were going to start it and then the fucking pandemic happened.
Did we have it planned for that long?
Yeah. And then we had to wait until I think everybody got vaccinated. And
yeah.
Then I think we started.
We had our first weird outdoor socially distanced get together in a driveway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But yeah, we have an active, persistent campaign going on as
yeah.
well, which is a lot of fun.
We just decimated the, can I say fantasy Republicans on this podcast?
I mean, you already did, so if you want to, that's fine. But that was cathartic. That had been coming up for a long time.
Yeah.
My favorite moment, and then we'll get to the book, but there was, because again, the brain rot is real. And I have two NPCs in this. One is Renee, who you will remember from
so fondly
my story from wherever. And that's always just been a character that's always just kind of been floating around. And I was like, oh, let me make her in D&D. That'll be fun. And we could just kind of explore her through that. And the other is a bard. Her name is Bibi, who I adore.
Love
so
Bibi.
Much. Who was also, like, when I first tried Pathfinder, God only fucking knows how long ago now. That's got to be like close to 10 years, maybe. Like, she was my character, and I was like, oh, I've played her in a few campaigns, and I'm like, I dig the shit out of her. I'm going to bring her too. And I was like, oh, You mean like a surly, lonely fighter and like a bard? Yeah, we can throw these two together. The moment Christy realized what was going on was amazing. Because she just gets, you get the slow look up from her character sheet, and she makes eye contact with me, and she gives me that good, like, I know what you are. It was beautiful.
I was going to ask you, because I was randomly reading about Xena today, and I didn't realize that Gabrielle is a bard.
And I was that wondering... I think I knew that, but I've never internalized that.
Okay.
Because I have not watched much Xena.
I hadn't either.
Which I know will make some people very disappointed in me, but
it sounded
okay.
Like, it's, I know that it's Sass's, yes. You know, holy grail.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
But I was reading about it today, and I was like, that seems fun. I don't know if I could approach that now. Like, it might just be too far removed from, like, modern sensibilities.
I think it's a time and a place.
Yeah.
For sure. Though, it would be fun to go back and maybe watch a couple episodes.
I'm sure Sass would love that.
She would mega level love that, yes. But, yes, we sprinkle in some Witcher nonsense wherever we can.
Know what's funny about this podcast? In the early episodes, you hadn't met Sass yet. Yeah, I hear the children's footsteps thundering around, too.
Yeah, that's just, we're in a hotel, and there's like a family reunion going on.
It's the loudest family in the world.
And there are a lot of people, like, charging around. Like,
been hooping and hollering since 4 p.m.
Yeah, it's been a little annoying. Hopefully, we're hoping they all leave tomorrow. I had met her. We hadn't started hanging out yet.
No.
We met on, like, right after the last terrible election that happened.
Oh, it all comes full circle.
I know, it's crazy. And then we had a moment where, I don't know if she mentioned the fic that she read being Pacific Rim related, and you were like, oh, I have a friend. And I remember you told me, and I was like, don't tease me. Like, if this isn't real and this isn't the thing, don't tell me about it, because I'm going to be really fucking angry.
No, I was like, I get why people try to matchmake their friends, because it's very satisfying being like, these two people
they
should
need
be together,
to
even
meet.
If platonically.
It was a Milhouse moment. Yes, it was beautiful. This is what it sounds like when the doves crack.
Did you know that, like, kids today don't get Simpsons references?
That makes me so sad on a visceral level.
I know. Like, I wasn't even allowed to watch The Simpsons, and I still know all the references.
Yeah. I can, like, solidly quote between, like, probably season 3 and season 8 of that show still.
It's just, like, this towering thing of pop culture that always seemed so important.
But it's also been garbage for, like,
yeah,
I don't know what. I don't even know how fucking long has it been on now, like
30 something.
Which is insane. Nothing should be on that long. Like, no. It should be done. Do something new.
Family Guy is still on. Did you know that?
I feel
bonkers.
Like I knew that, but I haven't watched Family Guy, and I couldn't even fucking tell you how long.
No. I don't think I could tolerate that, like, for 90 seconds at this point.
No. Same. But yeah, no. That's my favorite moment of just, like, yeah, I see you. I know what you are. Shall we get to reading?
Okay, let's do it.
Do we want to, where are we at? Like, we're barreling towards the ending, yes?
Yes. Well, there's some string along nonsense still to come, so don't worry.
Because I feel like I had listened to, like, a couple of our old, like, the final ones we did, and I vaguely remember, like, Valentine's Day coming up, and Darcy being shitty to Ursula.
To Cleo.
To Cleo, because
yes.
She was with Saturn, and Saturn was suddenly, like,
in love
with
Darcy.
Because
who wasn't? Who wouldn't love a 12-year-old brood?
I think she's 15.
She's 15.
Yes.
God, no.
We had just, I was listening to the episode where Tyler, I always say it wrong.
Taylor
is like, oh my God, I'm suddenly so sexually aroused. You have to leave the room or I'm going to take you here.
Oh, God.
And we have this huge discussion about, like, how gross that is.
Oh.
But, yeah. But of course I was like listening to it in my kitchen, like baking something and cackling.
I don't know. I feel like the amount that I laugh at our podcast is, like, maybe a little narcissistic.
Hey,
but
whatever. These are dark days, Sheila. You got to find your joy where you can.
That's true. And this is, I think we've either talked about this in Meat Space or on the podcast, that this is, like, when we were kids and you would record, like, you'd hit, I'm doing, like, the hit record and play at the same time gesture.
Yeah.
Like, on your boombox, and you'd, like, record your hang sesh, and then you'd have this little, like, time capsule.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, yeah. It's like the grown-up version of that.
Exactly.
Okay. Just for your information, this this is where we left off, this amount of pages, and this is the end. So this is like a
okay,
lot.
We still got a lot. So what I should say here is that originally when Sheila hadn't found the beginning, we were, and I don't think you realized you had that much left to go. We were going to do just a super special episode where we read to the ending, and that was it. We are going to try. It's like we updates may be sporadic because, again, life, the universe, and everything.
We have kids now.
We do. We had kids when we were recording, but they were like little meatballs and like didn't move around at all, and now they're 5 and almost 6 respectively, and yeah. Yeah, life. So we will try to update as much as we can. It may be a little erratic, but we are committed to getting at least
that's
to the
us,
end.
Though. That's on brand.
Very true. We are committed to getting through everything. So there's the end, but then there's like
the beginning again.
The beginning, like 40% chunk or something.
Yes.
Yeah.
I had been thinking it was maybe 40 typed pages. No, it's like you said, a good 40% of the entire thing.
Which
so
is
you
bonkers.
Ain't seen nothing yet.
No. So we need like the beginning.
Yes.
Is Wolf Halleck in that at all?
He is. Okay. Yeah, actually, like a lot.
I miss him so much.
I want to do some clarifying because I feel like we've like offhandedly been like, oh, he's so Teutonic. Like, I want to clarify that he is not a neo-Nazi and that we don't
approve
of neo-Nazis or think they're funny at all.
In this universe that we have to say this shit now. This was a different time.
Yes.
It was 2018, 2019. We, fuck Nazis.
Yes.
They deserve to be punched in the face.
But also, Wolf Halleck is not and has never been one. He's
problematic
in a lot of ways, but like fun ways.
Right. We're just having a time on the podcast. So
I want to get back to a place where we can enjoy the Wolf Halleck of it all.
Here, I'm enjoying. Look, 2024 into 2025 is a cataclysmic hellscape of which we cannot escape.
Yeah.
I'm gonna enjoy myself some Wolf motherfucking Halleck. So
ooh, bitches, let's go. All right,
there's a she-wolf in your closet.
There's a he-wolf in your closet, and he's got a box of wine from Target.
I was gonna say aged musical references, but aged podcast references.
Callback humor, it's the highest form of humor, I've always thought. Okay. Hi. So where we left off was some nonsense. It was, like you said, it was Valentine's Day, and then...
So that we may end up, there may be a little bit of overlap, because again, it has been almost 5 years, but...
I don't think so.
Okay.
The last thing that happened was she drew a picture of them all. It's Taylor's birthday, so we're going to give him a present, and the present is a picture of the gang.
That Darcy artfully drew, because she's so good at everything.
You know, she's an amazing artist.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I swiped the grains of sleep from my eyes and shambled out of bed, tripping.
Oh, how I've missed this.
tripping klutzily over Mixie, the dog, en route, I trekked intrepidly out to the kitchen, embracing my svelte gift.
Svelte gift?
Well, it's narrow, I guess.
Oh.
It's a picture. Like
the thesaurus.
You know that I have a thesaurus problem. And I read you that paragraph from my senior year essay that I found today.
I don't need to tell you. That was
appalling.
That was shocking.
It shocked me too, because there that was like 7 years after this. No, that's bad math. Like 5, 3, 12.
We're English majors.
5 to 6 years. And I was still writing like this. My God, my poor teachers. He gave me 100% on that essay.
I mean, hey, man.
What was it? The throbbing Anglo-Saxon something or other?
Something was throbbing.
Yeah.
And it was
unnecessarily
like
throbbing in the first paragraph.
What?
Like, what? Okay. A serene Taylor sipping a virgin strawberry daiquiri. What? Was mooning shirtless and sexy in a stylish it's so early for the wheezing. Pair of John Lennon sunglasses and misplaced shorts. This
mist. Wait. Well, okay. We gotta repaint this picture. So we're shirtless. We've got the little like
with
half
the round. With
right.
The round.
It's too early.
It's just there's nothing sexy about those. Oh my God.
No, I don't find like I know some people are very like ooh the Beatles. I don't give a fuck about the Beatles personally. Especially not John Lennon.
No.
I recognize the importance.
Yes.
I don't care.
Well, those sunglasses are goofy as fuck.
Yes,
like,
correct.
Even on you know, Adonis.
So we're standing in the kitchen. I'm not looking at you because if I start, I'm going to laugh and I'm going to piss myself.
Okay.
We're in the kitchen in like short shorts.
Well,
should we,
short
should we not
shorts?
Have the short shorts? Just shorts.
Just shorts.
I'm picturing short shorts. No shirt. We had a mooning line in there, but he does have pants on.
Yeah, it's not mooning.
It's
showing
mooning.
Your ass.
Yes, yes. Yeah, yeah, and yeah. We're drinking a virgin strawberry daiquiri.
Correct.
In the morning, I'm assuming.
Correct.
Okay. Because he's a responsible adult.
It is, I think, maybe his birthday, but still.
Is he turning 21 or is he turning 22?
I think he's turning 22. Also, who drinks a daiquiri in the morning? Like, have a Bloody Mary, like a decent person. Jesus. Okay. I perceived it as a... No, I skipped this gem. This odd peccadillo slung me rapidly into a paroxysm of laughter. I perceived
it... At least she's laughing at him, rightfully.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. I perceived it as obligatory to remind him exactly what the conditions were outside. Possibly some errant knave had misinformed him. Taylor, it's 32 degrees out.
The Shakespeare of it all. I missed that.
There's a lot of knaves. Like, that's like the third time.
Oh my God. That's more than the third time. I feel like probably we've had knave in there quite a bit.
Like, what even is a knave?
I don't know. We'll have to ask Darcy.
Okay. Oh, I know. He said in Halcyon. Is it Halcyon or Halcyon?
Can you spell it for me?
H-A-L-C-Y-O-N.
I think I've always said Halcyon.
Halcyon. Okay.
That does not mean that's correct, though, so let's just throw that out
there. I'm going to go with it. Halcyon tones. I'm reliving summer. Want some lemonade? Rather have some hot cocoa. I batted his nostalgia
away. So is he drinking lemonade or is he drinking a virgin daiquiri?
I think only he gets a daiquiri and everyone else has to
have
lemonade.
What the fuck, dickhead? I don't want a virgin daiquiri anyway.
Not for breakfast.
No.
Nor do I want lemonade for breakfast. Like,
no, too tart.
Too acidic.
Yes.
We old.
Too early.
Or rather have some hot cocoa. I batted his nostalgia away. Happy birthday. Thanks, he returned. Here. I thrust my slipshod package.
I'm not even going. That's
I know it's low hanging.
That's low hanging. I'm not even going to bother.
Oh, Darcy, he admonished me sunnily. You're so cute. Thank you. Adroitly, he slipped the paper out of its electric green swaddling. Hey, guys, look at this. Saturn plunged in. Then abruptly sugared with a laughing spasm upon Dakota's distressingly feminine attire.
Mm? Wait, so Dakota, like, okay.
So remember when Dakota...
Yes, I do remember that. Because I was definitely like, I'm going to write a fic of this, and then it never happened. Because I was like, this is like, oh, the fodder. Fodder for fic. 1,000%.
So, yes, you know what? I'm not going to say any more about the update to this, because we're not having spoilers.
Because we did say... Sheila is working on a, like, updated, like...
a grimdark update.
10 years, 20 years in the future?
15, probably.
15?
Yeah.
Yeah. Of, like, where everybody's at after this.
Who survives? Who survives but is mentally broken? Quite a few.
Because the whole premise is, like, this was from Darcy's perspective, but that's from their perspective. And they're all like, bitch is crazy.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the plan.
Which I'm kind of here for.
It might split them up. Like, they might kind of turn on each other based on some of them being like, bitch is crazy. And others being like, no, she was just trying to do the right thing and blah, blah, blah.
Was she?
Well, you don't know because you don't know how it all ends yet.
But I have an inkling.
There are two surprises to come, I think.
Okay. I did say there would be rending of clothing if a certain character dies. So, but I like this shirt, so I'm not going to rend this shirt.
Wait, which character would you be most heartbroken to see go?
See, I am very invested in the Jeremy Dakota pairing.
Mm-hmm.
So if either you're making faces now.
No, I'm just trying to discreetly drink my champagne.
Mm-hmm. So if either of them passes, I will be very upset.
We shall see.
You
we
are
shall see.
So bad at lying.
You may be surprised. But I'm going to be quiet about that now and continue with this.
It's just like when Bob, like, he tries to lie. He cannot lie without erupting into a giant smile.
Okay, but here's the thing. Occasionally in my life, I have used that to advantage.
Which is good. That is good.
Yes.
Yes.
People think I can't lie. So every once in a while, I'll pull it out. People are like, well, she's definitely telling the truth. But that's enough of that.
Indeed.
Dakota's clever repartee was, oh yeah, you look like a girl too, Nimrod. Shut up, fool. Jerk. Weasel. Freako. Schmuck. pretty boy.
Can we talk about how schmuck is such a great word?
It is, and it's like all the Yiddish words are.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so is this happening like Dakota's just hanging out and the girl, like, he's decided he enjoys wearing ladies' clothing?
No,
or?
There, she drew like a, it's like a caricature.
Oh, he's, we're looking at the portrait. Okay.
Yes, and because that was like a funny moment for Dakota, even though he got kidnapped,
yeah,
and
I don't
assaulted.
Think so. I think it was probably quite traumatic, but yes. Let's this is on brand for Darcy making fun of other people's trauma. So
precisely, like, remember the worst day of your life? Mm-hmm. I drew it for you. Urchin Saturn hurled with finality.
We're still going. Okay. Oh, urchin was it. All right.
Saturn, do you even know what an urchin is? I interrupted the little parley innocently. Sure, was his amiable assertion. It's like a Nimrod. I snorted. No, it's not. It's like a street kid. A little, well, you don't know what a waif is either. Well, Dakota
God,
is a street
kid. She's the biggest fucking bitch in the universe.
So awful.
She's back. We're
she
back.
She continues to be so awful.
We're so back.
Isn't he? Yes, I am, you waif, Dakota retorted. Taylor, can
okay,
I?
But though we're not just looking at, like, Dakota has phantomed into this, like, kitchen scene, though. He's there.
No, they live. He lives there. It's his house.
Okay, but, like, Taylor doesn't live with them, though.
No, but he's like the Dally.
Okay.
The Dallas.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, no, I got
yes, yes, I
think,
got
no, I think our audience might be like, who the fuck is Dally?
Yeah, do they make you read The Outsider still?
I hope so. I consider it to be seminal literature. Changed my life. I should probably get an Outsider's tattoo. Okay.
Ooh, what would you get?
Do it for Johnny.
Spelled phonetically correctly, obviously, yes.
F-A.
Obviously.
Do it for Johnny. Okay. Taylor, can I relive summer with you? I bubbled. Of course. Go put on some shorts and a tank top or something like that. Hey, have some watermelon.
I can't wait for him to die. I'm counting the pages.
It's only like all these.
I know, but like when it happens, it's going to be so satisfying. Because I have this like image of in my head of how it's going to happen. I'm picturing like he's falling off of a building or something. I don't know why that's like very present in my head.
Interesting.
Like there's like a clinging sort of situation, and I don't know if Wolf Halleck
like
eats it as
hard.
Well. Kind of.
Oh no, Wolf.
Well, I don't want Wolf to die either. No. But I feel like he might have to.
For great justice.
Yes.
Okay.
We have already established that you have like of the vengeful feeling need that justice in the world.
Yeah, but sometimes there isn't justice in the world.
We very well know, yes.
Bill Dung's roman about a young girl learning that the world is a dark place. Returning clad in a beachy ensemble, I divulged my authoritarian psychoanalysis. That's not what authoritarian means. You want authoritative. Big difference. I think you're reliving your childhood, not just summer. Maybe so.
That really
mumbled.
Long ago childhood, because you're entirely too old to be dating a 15-year-old.
For real.
Yes.
Yeah, I think you're right. Back to my 9th birthday, because I'm a mental child. Gosh, there really
That's
wasn't...
why it's okay.
Mentally 9 years old, so it's great. There really wasn't anything to worry about back then. I sound like a cheap cliche, but seriously, it seems so easy. I know, I concurred, but now you're blinded to the horrible things that happened when you were 9. The day your teacher yelled at you in front of the whole class is a high-caliber agony to a little kid. Wow, that's weirdly empathetic for Darcy.
High-caliber agony.
I don't hate that.
I don't hate it either.
Or the kid that didn't want you to be in his clique, or the time some 6th-grade bully beat you bloody. It's levels of magnitude. You felt just as bad back then about that as you do now about those things like losing your job or having friends get hurt. I know, but those were the sweetest days of my life, Taylor sighed. That's pathetic.
Yes, like, it is.
For 22? Dude. Even though they were so trivial. Here, could you go put on this tape? Solemnly, he yielded to my hands a cassette. The Cure's Wild Mood Swings. Guess who was listening to that all the time? Oh, I love The Cure, I chirped. Reminds me of summer, Taylor explained. I bounded away to play the capering melodies. It is a very upbeat.
Oh, I was just going to say, I don't know that I would call The Cure capering melodies, but...
It's a pretty sunshiny album. Well, okay. For The Cure. The morning of the 16th fractured into a slushy paradise of torrential rain and snow. My spirits were rollicking despite the repressive conditions. I was 16. No longer teetering at the chasm of awkward adolescence. Girl.
Yeah, babe.
You have no idea.
Babe.
Child, I'm still in it. I had gained another notch of status. I was not too young to comprehend the verity of teenage years, not too old to cling to the last vestiges of youth. Okay. Taylor well assimilated the nuances of my reshaped life. His glowing visage was what greeted me in the morning. Happy birthday, sweetheart. He sparkled.
Ugh. It's so gross.
It's so gross.
It's so fucking gross.
He's like the fact that he's like, oh, she's 16 now.
Right? Now it's okay. Oh, it's still not okay, but it's like less not okay.
Yeah.
I'm 22.
I baked you these little heart cookies. Oh, see, they even have jam in the middle. They're a little burnt, but... He shrugged and poked a heart at my lips with a vainglorious pride. Try one.
I feel like you've used vainglorious multiple times as well.
I also feel like this is the second baking scene. Like, there is way too many makeovers and baking scenes.
I will
scenes.
Tell you right now, as I'm mad at myself that I didn't mention that I have actually written a book now.
Yeah, big deal. Right?
We'll talk about that more next episode. But I have a lot of scenes where they're just, like, being cozy and cooking and baking.
No, I love that. For not a story about gangbangers.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair.
We definitely did a lost episode because I do remember you talking about your book on the podcast.
Maybe that I was writing or working on it because...
Did you really start it that long ago? 2020?
Not 2020, no.
That's our last...
Yeah, but if there was a lost episode that we did up here, it would have been a couple years after that.
I don't know that it was up here. It probably was, though.
It would have been up here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't remember when I started writing it. Maybe in 2022, 2023? I finished it in 2023.
I can't see anyone having the focus to do that during peak COVID.
It came out in 2023. I finished it like early that year, so I would have been writing it in 2022. So if we had come up here and recorded, I might have been working on it like during that. Yeah.
That sounds right.
That does sound right.
Do you want to tell us about it?
We're pretty deep into this episode, so, and you're rolling, and this is delightful.
We save it for the next
one. I will save it for the next one, because we do our little pop culture chats a little bit, and that's technically pop culture.
That's a pretty big oversight that we did not mention that right
at
the beginning.
Hey, the memory is not what it used to be, my friend, so.
I don't think self-promotion is either of
I'll talk about that more, too. I am so bad at self-promotion.
Yeah.
Like, I have, like, a blue sky and, like, a Tumblr. You'd think I would have mentioned, like, hey, it's the year anniversary of my book. Totally fucking forgot. Not good at this shit, man. Not good at this shit.
Which is, like, not inherently a bad quality.
No, I just don't want to be, like, braggy and be like, no. I wrote a book. You should read it. Like, who fucking cares? It's out there. Whatever.
Do you want me to? I don't want to be like, so back to my thing.
No, 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 no. Please continue.
Okay.
Like I said, we'll talk about it in the next episode. Yeah.
Okay. Tay was really quite the gourmand. No. Where'd you get the recipe? I drooled around a fingerful of jam. Stop trying to make it erotic. Gross. I sort of made it up, he confessed abashedly.
No, you didn't, you fucking liar.
You don't know how to develop recipes.
No,
please.
Like a sandwich cookie? Please. Stop. I came up with loser cookies. Fuck you, asshole. He's like shoving away the America's Test Kitchen book. Like, I just came up with it off the top of the dome. It was really easy. Fuck you.
He pours her a glass of Coke. I invented this. Do you like it? You want to try it? Spicy. I hope the jam's not too sweet or anything. We're going to celebrate your birthday tomorrow because Saturn managed to wrangle something with Finny Tyler. Finny!
Finny's coming
shirtless
back.
Shirtless Finny.
That's right. He was shirtless.
He's always shirtless. It's a surprise, though.
Didn't he was the DJ, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, you guys are so sweet. Is it safe? Was my arch query.
So wait. Are there birthdays like...
It might be that they're the same day or...
Oh, it's destiny.
My birthday is the 16th.
Yes.
So hers is also clearly the 16th. And I feel like because he was... A little based on Taylor Hansen, his birthday was probably the 15th.
Okay.
Like Taylor Hansen's.
Okay.
Unfortunately, I have to disavow Hansen.
Yeah, you know.
You know. Oklahoma. Whatever.
It is what it is.
I think it should be. Taylor assuaged me. You'll love it. Did you know today is your golden birthday? What's that? It's when the age you become coincides.
I'm going to tell you right now, there's no way Darcy did not know what a golden fucking birthday was.
I don't know. I think I only learned that. At that time. I mean, it's not like it's an important thing.
No, it's not. It's a dumb, like, nonsense. Like, mine was when I was 2.
Yeah, it's, like, wasted on most people, I feel like, exactly. Unless you're in a really specific frame. Yeah. It's the 16th, see? Oh. End of scene. It just...
Oh.
Empty space.
Oh, that's a shame, because the O's can be so good, because usually in fic parlance, or that's what, it's that O moment where it's like, oh, I've realized I'm in love with this other character. That's what the O is.
No, this is like, oh, thanks for telling me about golden birthdays.
End of scene. End of scene.
The day, bleached golden blonde by the sun, which had made a delayed appearance, faded into a Cimmerian night. Again, that word, which is a proper noun with a capital C. I do not know what that word means.
What is it?
Cimmerian? Cimmerian. I literally think that
it's right at the top.
It's
yeah.
in the thesaurus under dark, but it probably means dark in like...
Yeah, I'm not sure.
A mythological or... Like,
maybe?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I got nothing.
I got nothing. Thank you. The troop repaired to bed. I remained on my throne-ish sofa to pet Mixie and conjecture on what the possible entertainment scheduled for the next day might be. Thusly occupied, I drifted off. Darcy, wake up, howled an agitated William.
Oh, remember how much she hates William.
Like, the animal noises continue for mm-hmm. him. Here, put this on. From his spindly arms were thrust a floor-sweeping, drab-hued skirt, a full scalloped petticoat, and a ruffled white peasant blouse, reminiscent of medieval
eras. Oh, remember, they had like a pile.
The dead girlfriend clothing pile. But why are there Renaissance clothes in it?
Because you go to the Renaissance fair.
I guess so. But
Chibi
like,
Sheila was a big fan
this?
Of the Renaissance fair. Because of all of the dead girls that they've murdered and collected their clothes. That's why.
I didn't think that I'd be crying again on this podcast so soon. But here we are. Hurry up. Utterly nonplussed, I gathered the bundle and whisked William out of the room.
I feel like we also like skipped over. I've always pictured William as this like pudgy little guy.
Yes.
Spindly,
yes.
I'm like, oh, he's, oh, okay.
So I realized that he was based on this boy, Mark, that my friend and I did acting class with.
Oh.
And he was like a perfectly lovely kid. But we had a crush on the other boy in acting class. So like he couldn't be the sexy one.
Right.
Privacy attained, I climbed ceremoniously into the skirt. I conducted an experimental pirouette across the floor. It swirled vivaciously around my pair of shapely bare legs. Okay. I yanked on the...
You're 12.
I know
the character is 15, right?
I yanked on the petticoat underneath. It contoured the costume nicely. Glorifying it further, I slipped the exquisitely ruffled shirt over my head and tucked it sprucely into the skirt. Okay, it's on, I announced. What? The last chunk was gouged from my sentence as two muscle-bound arms encircled me while two more swathed my eyes in a dusky blindfold. I shrieked cacophonously as instinct overwhelmed reason, then relaxed as Taylor's resonant baritone murmured something in my ear. The whole club was looking at her. She's all wrapped up, Connor proclaimed. So, are we ready? I guess, I heard Dakota sniff churlishly. But I hate these things. They make me look... Shut up, Jeremy's voice snapped. She's going to guess what's going on. No, she's not, I contradicted them, isolated perilously from the ocular world. I have no idea. Where the hell are you taking me? I'm going to lead you out to the car, Taylor explained. Just be careful. So I tripped erratically along the sidewalk, stumbling a few times.
So we need to just like picture this from like somebody that's like either walking down the street or like perhaps going to their window to like... Take in the morning, there's this like troop of boys and a man.
One single man.
Leading a blindfolded girl dressed in Renaissance fair clothing to a car.
It kind of makes me picture an episode of It's Always Sunny. Stumbling a few times over the ethereally long skirt. Always present was an arm to catch me, be it gangling or be it brawny or somewhere in between. I was hustled into the car. Although I harbored some disquieting doubts about the smooth operation of their outlandish celebration, I bore enough faith in their intentions not to protest. After an attenuated car ride, during which I could glean no small tidbit which might elucidate the situation, we arrived somewhere. I blundered out of the car and into Taylor's arms. He escorted me in cavalier fashion across a weedy pathway. "Hey, stop," he said, alarmed, and jerked me back. "You're about to walk into a wall." "Oops." I halted and swerved left according to his directions. Behind me, easily audible, were the clamorous insults being traded between the other five. "Okay, put your hand forward." Blind, I extended my arm in a frail gesture. It struck a doorknob, reeled back, and strained out again. I directed a barren glance at Taylor. "Open it," he advised me. I did, and
okay,
as soon
so wait,
as I did...
is her blindfold, blindfold still on?
Yes.
Or, okay.
A deafening hue and cry assaulted my ears. In fluid, practiced moves, Tay slung the blindfold off my eyes.
Oh, there we go. Okay.
I was wilting in the entrance to the warehouse, which had been impregnated with a throng of about 70 people. Taylor nudged me forward.
Like, there are ways of saying that.
Yeah, that's never one of them.
And that's not one of them, no. No. Also, you were stressing me out with the way that you were putting these pages down, because you put one of them behind.
Oh, oh dear, I did.
And now you're like...
Is that good?
No, the one on the bottom should be in between.
That, I mean...
Or the one... I mean, I don't know that you fucking care, but...
I don't fucking
okay.
care. I did spend an awful lot of time putting these back in order, though, so
and
I
the
should
ver-
care.
The one on the very back there with the folded page should be on the
oh,
bottom.
Oh, yeah,
that.
That's the first one.
Yeah.
I see.
I'm sorry, yeah. I was just... I'm sitting here and I'm like...
Shuffling papers at the podcast. "You must be Belle," someone screeched. "Yeah," I agreed warily.
Oh, was that the that's the fake name, right?
That's the fake name.
Okay.
As I was pitched into the sea of undulating figures.
Also, question, is this the same warehouse where the weird shit happened with Wolf?
Yes.
Seems stupid to do the big party there.
I mean, I think there's safety in numbers.
Is there? In pertaining to Wolf Havoc?
But it's like, if you had 70 people come to your party for this person they don't know, could you not have mustered up 70 people to fight Wolf Halleck?
Right?
I don't know. I guess, like, that's a bigger ask than come to a party. Perhaps. Come to a rumble or come to a party.
Yeah.
I noticed that all were arrayed in clothes which appeared to be 19th century Irish. Here's to St. Paddy, Caterwauld, tottering, inebriate. Yes, it's St. Patrick's Day.
Amazing.
Oh, God. This is, you know what this is? And this was years before that movie. What is that movie with Daniel Day-Lewis and the big Irish dancing scene?
Daniel Day-Lewis and the big Irish.
Gangs of New York.
Ooh, I liked Gangs of New York.
I mean, I liked it too.
Is there a big Irish dancing scene in that?
Yes.
It's been a minute. I haven't watched that in a while.
It's like the big Irish dancing scene in Titanic.
Oh, kind of similar to
like
that. Okay.
Fiddles and stomping.
Okay. Oh, all right, all right, all right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I gotcha.
In the center of the concourse, I discerned a five-piece band. Supporting a massive set of bagpipes was a sprightly red-haired youth. Beside him towered a graying, jolly-looking fellow who was attacking his fiddle with a vengeance. Seated next to the fiddler was a heavy-set, florid man who was huffing as an accordion succumbed to the masterful touch of his fingers.
I mean, I will tell you this. This sounds rad as shit.
Yes. But we like, were talking about this earlier.
Yeah,
like,
how did we organize this?
Right.
How do we know these people?
Right. Like, you have to pay.
Right. You are a like, weak-ass gang in Chicago. How do you know these people? Where are you paying for this?
They have connections at the Irish Heritage Center.
That'd be fucking his. That's the scene I want to see.
Well, your wish shall be my command. A freckled lass, dainty and pert, slapped a tambourine rhythmically against her hand, then her hip, calling to mind a gypsy dancer. Racist.
Yes.
And toddling next to the brazen girl was a bantam boy puffing on a complaining harmonica.
Like, slur. Gypsy's a slur, right?
It is a slur.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Romani,
but people, a lot of people don't know that. I had to tell somebody that just the other day.
I don't think that one's very well... One, I don't think people give a shit, unfortunately.
No. But this was a conscientious person. They were like, oh, shit, I didn't know.
Yeah, I think I prefer Romani, right?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I assume so, but I would have to look it up. Yeah. I don't know anybody of that background. Yeah. The festivities had already been progressing for quite some time, it seemed. I was thoroughly delighted at the intense appreciation of my heritage. Yes, this party is just for me. I turned to address the rest of the group and burst out laughing. Not funny, Dakota berated me. So maybe I look stupid in suspenders and knickers. He said the word with relish. But look at you. I like my outfit, I retorted. Swiftly, I snatched his hands and whirled him mischievously into the dance.
I was just going to say, like, the great thing about this story is...
If you had to choose just one.
The fic writes itself, really. We're at this big dancey party, right, that's celebrating Darcy, but there is so many great moments where Jeremy and Dakota could steal away and share, like, a quiet private dance in a little
suspenders
corner. Yes,
and
why not?
Bloomers?
Absolutely.
It is true.
I know it is.
That's why I said it. There was no organization. Everyone improvised and all were jigging briskly around the room. Come on, boy, dance. I cajoled him when his grip slackened and he attempted to slink away. No, come back here.
See, he's trying to slink away because he wants to go dance with Jeremy.
Yes. Dakota, however, did not wish to make a spectacle of himself, but Connor zealously volunteered to replace him.
Connert.
So from this point on, Saturn has become Connor.
Oh, why? Okay.
I don't know.
No, we talked about that, right?
Yeah,
I think
but like
one of the last ones.
Why would an auto replace only work on the first half of the story?
I think
Connertmas was,
or maybe you made a decision to be like, from here on, the name is this, and I'll go back after and I'll change it.
Oh, maybe.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. That's probably what it was.
So Connor.
Connor is Saturn.
Saint Connert. Connor equals Saturn.
Is it better if I just say Saturn?
I mean, I would read it as written.
Because it's dumb. Okay.
Well, that's a thing that you have to like think about then, so I wouldn't worry about it. Just okay. read it as written.
So we'll know that Connor is Saturn.
Yes.
Merry Connertmas. So we capered agilely through the masses, weaving in and out. I had a prancing fling with all of the guys, including Jeremy. Hey, Darcy, Taylor laughed with a twinge of the rascal waxing in his voice. Let's get up and dance on that table. Oh, table dancing. We love that. From Prost. This from
Well,
Taylor?
And you were what? You were 12? So when yes. was this? Titanic had come out already, right?
This has got it like, I don't know. That's probably where this came from.
Right, when the Titanic come
yeah.
out? Was that 98?
100%. Yeah.
No. I don't know.
It was either 97, 98, or 99.
Okay.
No, it was 98. I'm pretty sure you're right. Seriously, he twinkled, observing my incredulous terror. Come on. Before I could submit a feckless plea, he had hefted me into his iron grip and mounted me on the rickety wooden structure. It's mounting like...
Yes, I know that. I am aware of that. However...
Okay. I just wanted to clarify.
No, I've assumed there wasn't going to be a gang rape. Though, who the fuck knows with Darcy?
With this story? No, Taylor is waiting until marriage. Hundreds...
Oh, Shamey's going to be dead before then.
You're going to love this. Hundreds of eyes, milky with the demon rum, or limpid with sobriety, fixed unwaveringly.
I'm not going to bring it up. I believe we've talked about that on the podcast, but I'm not going to bring it up again.
I am blushing. I am full body blushing. Like, I am sweaty.
Well, let's get to the end of this scene, and then I think we'll call it for this episode, and we'll take a little breaky break.
Okay. Taylor clambered up next to me, steeped in a certain euphoria. Do ye know the slip jig?
Do
the fiddler,
ye?
Because he's Irish.
Oh, it's the fiddler saying. That's yeah. Taylor.
The fiddler demanded heartily.
Taylor, right? Not Tyler?
Taylor.
Taylor.
Like Taylor Hansen. I think so, I called back, captivated by Taylor's reckless shedding of his pastel anxieties. How about you, Tay? Of course, he confessed, mock appalled at my presumption of his naivete regarding the dance.
We are the best at dancing ever.
Well, actually, I guess not.
Well, you're gonna actually...
have to do that. On Sorry. Your own. What? I squalled. Oh no, I'm not going to get up in front of all these people and dance on my own. They're waiting.
I keep dancing on my own.
She's Billy Idol. He said mellowly, you better hurry up. My wrath was dissipated, however, when the first mercurial strains of music flowed from the fiddle. Wasting no further chagrin on my role, I snared a fistful of the coarse skirt and harkened back to the days of what had seemed like tedious Irish dancing lessons. The eyes congealed into a backdrop. Gross. And I disdained William's hyena chuckles.
Oh, she hates him so much. It's great.
Hates him. He's not sexy.
As He's not sexy and thus worthy of scorn.
Fluttered in the steps imprinted on my memory. This is also a lie because I never did master the slip jig. Didn't get past the basic jig.
Ah.
After a fleeting 3 minutes or so, the fiddler slackened off the pace and killed the final swell of music. I bounced into Taylor's arms, basking in the roaring acclaim, which surged from all corners. He lifted me delicately off the high bench, and someone furnished a foaming tankard of Irish some alcoholic concoction. There's a misplaced Irish in there, which I dispassionately declined. Happy birthday, Darcy, the gang chorused. I have since labeled it the best birthday I'd ever lived through. It's a weird way to put that.
Yeah, that's almost like she's like
we're
dictating
this
die? From the future. Yeah.
Yeah. As part of the recuperation from that wild celebration, Connor insisted I accompany him to work. The underlying reason, which he was oblivious to the fact that I was aware of, was his brutal hangover. He was still staggering. I had to act as chaperone. Drunk DJ. A deranged Finney Tyler waylaid us at the
There
door.
He is.
He was so upset, he was practically drooling. Oh, no. Damn it, damn it. I'm going to get a gun and shoot him. I'm going to wrap my fingers around his neck. I'm going to... What's wrong? I interrupted him. I didn't trust Connor to converse fluently quite yet. He was still not fully able to manipulate his faculty of speech. Jody Brinker walked out. I mean, out of our band. He was the drummer. We were recording our demo and we got into a fight.
Tell me Darcy Sturtz is the drummer for this band. No, tell me.
No, it's not Darcy.
Okay. I was about to lose my fucking mind.
Like straight from the Irish fiddle party.
I'm the best at everything.
I can draw, I can dance, and I can drum. He really exploded. It would be okay. We could just find a replacement, except we were in the middle of a recording. See, we were redoing a demo. We'd sent it to the radio station a couple weeks ago, and they loved it, but they wanted us to make a couple changes. We're trying to negotiate a contract, and now look, we'll never make it. Aw, Finny. The deluge of rancor had finally halted, and Finny slumped morosely into a nearby chair. You don't think he's coming back? I inquired gingerly. No, he took his drums and everything. I think we all saw it coming, but we were trying to deny it. He's never been that good of a friend.
Ooh.
He was the drummer? I leveled an insidious glance at Connor, who wasn't exactly quick on the uptake. Yes, Finny mourned. Although I wasn't a member of the music industry elite, from the devastation of his world, I could sense the enormous significance of what may appear to some as a picayune issue.
What's that word?
Picayune.
What the fuck does that mean?
Tiny.
Okay. Say fucking yeah.
So you're looking for a replacement? Actually, I was conducting this interview with unwitting Finny for Finn's own benefit as opposed to Connor's. If this manifested itself as Connor's lifelong fantasy, he'd have contributed more to the conversation. If you know anyone, he shrugged, his muscles rippling impressively.
Oh, that's right. He doesn't wear shirts, right?
I think he's still shirtless okay. At work.
Amazing.
Give me a call. I do know somebody. I seized Finny's shoulder and hauled him away from the distraught zombie who was Connor. Connor can do it.
Oh, okay. It's Connor.
Who did you think it was going to be?
No,
Jeremy?
At first I was like, ooh, it's going to be Taylor, isn't it?
I don't think Taylor has any talent.
Okay. Well, we know this, but.
Except. Never mind. Connor can do it. He's expressed a desire to. He knows how, too. Why don't you give him an audition? Finny's sulky pout speedily caved in on itself. For real? He can play? Knocking his ever-present sunglasses off, angling his cap at a rakish tilt, he pounced on me. I love you. You're brilliant. You're wonderful. You're perfect.
Yeah, that's the story.
They love each other, man. I liberated myself from his blithely waving arms. Connor, can you play the drums? Finny charged him voraciously. This innocent question was an incendiary match to Connor's papery consciousness.
Have we established that Connor can play the drums?
No.
Okay. Okay. No, just curious.
Well, maybe in the first...
Oh, right.
100
right,
pages.
Right, right. I was trying to be like, do we have any, like...
It has not been made reference to on this podcast.
Okay. Okay. Mm-mm.
Can I play? He drawled. I'm the master. Show me to your drum set. Well, we don't have a complete set. See, Jody Brinker just walked out on us and he took the stuff that belonged to him. Your
like
band?
Jody Brinker is the kind of person that you have to say their full name all the time. Because like, there are definitely people like
Jody
that.
Jody Mangione?
Yes, where you have to say their full name.
Are you asking me to be in your band? As in, like, Angel of the Tarot? Oh, God. That's the name of the band.
Amazing.
Yeah.
No notes.
Yeah. I mean...
Glorious. Glorious.
I'm asking you if you want to be the drummer. Do you? Finny queried, measuring his words in a toddler's tempo. I'd love it, Connor exclaimed in a faux southern accent. It'll be just peachy. Listen, the stuff is set up in the basement here because the station lets us use it for free as our studio. Things that would never happen. I can show you now.
Yeah, there's a lot of like, okay, who's this contract with? We're like, are you with the radio station? Like, what's going on here? Radio station has a label. What's...
I think this is like a local 101 situation.
Gotcha. Okay.
And I think that Finny is James Van Osdell.
Ah, I see. Was he known for being shirtless most of the time?
All the time. Just popped it off all the time.
Popped the top off.
I can show you now, but you have to go on shift. Darcy can do it, Connor suggested easily. Me? I squawked. I don't know anything about being a DJ. Didn't we already do this?
I felt like she was helping with, like, calls or something at some point.
Yes.
But now she gets to, oh, she's in the big seat.
That's right. Connor, don't make me. My gripes escaped Finny's harmony-trained ear. Okay, Darcy, you know how to answer phones, and I'm sure you can talk to people. Finny, you're wrong, buddy. Have the intern show you all the buttons. The playlist is on the wall, and the interns will get the CDs for you.
This fucking intern is sitting here like, are you fucking kidding me? I've been interning with this goddamn radio station for like 2 years, and a child walks in, and they get to be the fucking DJ? Great. Great.
There's a soda machine right outside the room.
The important things. Facts. Right. Very important.
And you're done at three, all right? Numbly, I agreed. Descent would clearly have been sacrilege. Connor will be in the basement if you need him. So will I. Guess I'll be seeing you. Bye. Finny and Connor excused themselves and were locked in susurrated conference as they tramped down the stairs. In the ensuing time squandered at the radio station, I was invited
squandered. Squandered at the radio station. Like, you're actively doing, like, wish fulfillment fantasy. The time was squandered.
It's a waste of my time. Could have been dancing to fiddle music. I was invited to partake of the thrilling music provided by Angel of the Tarot, minus the lead guitarist and the keyboardist.
There's no way that music's good, right?
What kind of music do you think it is? Like, I think it's, like, industrial rock.
I think it has to be. I with, like, so maybe, like a slice of emo through there.
I think this was too early for emo.
Yeah, but that's how, like, cutting edge they are.
That's right. Finny, man. Finny. Ahead of his time. You're better than Jody Brinker. Finny was lavishing
praise. Jody Brinker.
On Connor's worthy head. Go ahead, play your solo. Show Darcy how good you are. Because I'm a bitch. I had been expecting an amateur performance of not quite mind-bending quality.
She's the biggest cunt in the universe.
So mean. So
She's
mean.
So mean.
But the subsequent jam session was startling. Connor's fervor drizzled over his drums and foot pedals and reverberated through his spiteful smashes. Every beat congealed. There's a lot of congealing happening. Came together. He had a discerning ear for layers of rhythm. Connor, I breathed when the drumming, punctuated by Finney's absorbed tinkling on the keyboard, had ceased. That was wonderful. You guys, it really sounded great. You're not just saying that? Panted Connor, trolling his line out for more compliments. No, I'm not. But what about the other guys in the band? Will they be okay with this? Oh, yeah, Finny assured me. I know Harvey will be. Tristan, I don't know about. He was sort of friends with Jody. But once he gets to know you, he'll become your best friend. Listen, I gotta run because I have a date with Zoe. When you come tomorrow, I'll bring the guys. Anytime you need to practice, come on down here, okay? He was scurrying for the door. Darcy, thanks again. I love you. You're brilliant. I like Finny.
Finny's pretty cool. Yeah.
So should we leave it there for today?
Sure. We will call it there for today. All right, folks. Thank you very much for joining us again. We're doing a little record sesh, so we're going to get a couple more episodes in the can here so we can have a little bit of content for you moving forward.
Oh, the next one is brutal.
I'm so excited.
In a good way.
I missed this so much.
The next one is going to break your heart. It's going to snap your...
Okay. Well, we'll see. There'll be some rending of clothing.
Yes.
We can be the loud ones.
That's right.
In the hotel. But
that's
okay,
right. It's
folks.
Our time down here. Okay.
Thank you, friends, and we will talk to you again soon.
Bye.